Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
46% of Americans expect to leave behind financial obligations when they pass away, so it's crucial to make sure your family is financially protected. Policy Genius helps you find the right life insurance coverage by comparing options from America's top insurers with help from licensed, award-winning agents. Secure your financial future with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get free life insurance quotes in just a few clicks. That's policygenius.com.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What is happening, Alma Woods people? I hope y'all are having a great day. I hope you're excited, and I hope you got some turkey hunting in the plans, in the works, or maybe you have been out in the woods. I know some of these southern states are open. This is the Element Podcast, brought to you by First Light Gear, and we have been doing a little hunting ourselves, eh, Tyler?
Yeah. Don't say it like that. Eric's not here.
How many H's are in Tyler?
Zero.
You know, I went to high school with a guy that had an H in his.
Really?
Tyler, yeah.
He probably was raised by Yankee parents.
Actually, not at all, but yeah. I don't know. Kind of strange.
Or named, at least. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been doing some turkey hunting. I'm actually been on a, I guess you could call it a quest. I'm not like a crazy fanatic turkey hunter or anything, but I like turkey hunting. Something fun to do in the spring. And I happened to shoot a Merriam's turkey in New Mexico last year. If you watched it on, you might have watched it on the Meat Eater YouTube channel. And at that point, I started to realize, well, I got one more before I get the slam, the U.S. slam. I think it's called the U.S. slam, right? Mm-hmm. It's the four subspecies of turkeys, which is Rio, Eastern, Merriam's, and Osceola. So, by happenstance, I come across a guy by the name of Matt Cates. And he happens to have a lot of Osceolas around on a property that he does some hunting on. And so we've got Matt actually here with us. And we've been hunting with him just for a few days while we're in Florida. We've been bouncing around all over the state, doing all sorts of different activities. Southern Florida, or Florida in general, is just like it's a lot like Texas, where it's a unique place, and there's a lot of different culture there. There's a lot of different things to do, a lot of different critters to chase. The fishing side of things is just, you know, pristine. So anyway, that's kind of in the middle of all this stuff we've been doing. We were able to hook up with Matt here, and this morning, are we spilling the beans?
Well, let's just keep the beans at bay for a bit.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Okay.
I got an idea. Matt. We had a big debate on the way here.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen your name spelled. Do you spell your name the German way or the English way?
It's M-A-T-T-C-A-T-E-S.
Well, I figured that one. Okay, so C-A-T-E-S.
Yep.
Cates. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. So I thought it might be like the K-A-E-T-Z or whatever.
No.
Matt
no.
Cates.
C-A-T-E-S.
And you grew up here. We're in Central Florida.
Yep.
What was it like growing up in Central Florida?
Man, it's changed a lot. This place is getting developed, especially our coastlines. A lot of construction. They're building that up pretty good. But the interior of Florida is kind of still the same. It's a lot of ranch land, groves.
What's a grove?
Orange grove, citrus.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, a lot of citrus in Florida. So there's still a lot of that. Mm-hmm. like I say, our coastlines are what's getting developed so much. But, yeah, we've always had been involved with cattle ranching and working in some groves and then started doing a little, I guess you could call it maintenance on ranches, just keeping the hog populations down. And there's, you know, there's a need for it here pretty heavy. So I kind of fell into that little niche of things and just stuck with the hunting. It was always my passion. And through through the angles I was working with the landowners trying to keep the hog populations down, it just turned into more for us and started a hunting operation. And next thing you know, it's pretty wide open.
Was there a bunch of pigs here when you were young?
There was.
Not that you're not a, a striking young man now, but say as a teenager.
I'm a little weathered. but yeah, there's always been hogs here.
And yeah.
So I can tell you that I started keeping track several years ago, and I average about 1,300 hogs a year, and it doesn't look like we've even hunted them.
Man.
So, and it's not like I'm the only one doing it. It's a popular activity here. So
You know about that.
I do. I've been telling you some about the trapping experience and stuff, and we did aerial operations quite a bit, you know, at least once a year.
Yep.
And you're actually probably one of the few people I've met that's killed more pigs than me. So
right.
Way to go, man. You know, it's interesting how pigs work. And I guess a little side note, we did some iguana stuff earlier in the week elsewhere.
Veins are spilling.
And they are – is that the beans?
That's
I thought the beans –
there's all kinds of beans.
There's lots of beans around.
There's a lot of beans going on.
All kinds of real.
That's right. Moro. Yeah. But,
beans and rice.
Iguanas kind of proliferate kind of similarly where it's just – at this point in time with the pigs, you're just – trying to maintain.
Yeah, right. We're just trying to keep them under control. I mean, as you can see, riding through these pastures, they'll beat your brains out riding across them.
3 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days is what the gestation is on a hog, and a sow's ready to breed at 9 months old. Start doing math on that real quick, and, man, it's kind of wild. It's almost like we'd better off if we could just stabilize and naturalize.
Yeah.
Like, if you just get to a point where finally – they stop expanding, and then you can kind of understand what to do with them.
Yeah, like you're not going to beat them, right? So you just got to keep them under control. You're never going to get rid of them. It's not going to happen, especially in Florida with as thick as woods as we have. It's just it's not feasible. But to definitely keep them intact, that's not a – you know, that's our goal is just to keep them manageable.
When'd you kill your first gator?
I killed my first gator when I was probably – I think I was 6 or 7 years old.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I'm 52 now, so there's been a few in between.
Wow. So gotcha. The hogs can actually, they're pretty tasty, but gators they like are. To eat them too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They get a few. They get a few every year. They're gator's main diet down here where we're at is fish and turtles.
Yeah. So. It's man, it's surprising to me that they eat fish, like live fish, huh?
Yeah, and that's the majority of their diets, live
really?
Fish. Yeah.
So they just sit there with their mouth open underwater.
What they usually do is they go get in a place where fish congregate, and they'll just lay there. And if they lay there, eventually, you know, fish are going to bump into them, especially if there's flowing water or the water's running, culvert pipes, stuff like that. A lot of places, when they pump water in and out, the culvert pipes will empty out into a canal, cause a deep spot. Well, when those canals get low, that spot holds all the fish. Them gators will get in those holes right there, man. They will just gorge themselves.
So you're saying don't do a backflip off of a culvert.
Better check before you go.
That's not a good spot to
do one.
See,
this morning, you're like, hey, just walk down this road right here, and you'll get to your spot. And then you probably know, but there's a little low spot there that I – tried to shine my flashlight into, and I couldn't see the bottom. So we took our kind of roundabout around it.
Well, you guys remember what we rode by yesterday.
Yeah. I was up. You've got this cool, I mean, it's just like a Can-Am, you know, like.
It's like a high rack.
Yeah. It's got a, yeah, it's what we call a high ride down in South Texas pretty much, but so it makes your vehicle like a 8-seater pretty much. And that top one back there, I was sitting in it yesterday evening, and what my head height back there is probably 11 foot or something, I imagine.
Roughly,
down.
Yep.
And, you knew the gator was there, but nobody else really did. But we went through this – you know, the water's real clear. It's tanning around here, but it's real clear everywhere you go through. And I looked down, and there was like a 9-footer in the water. Like, we almost ran over his tail.
Yeah, if we would have been a little bit to the right there, we would have bumped him.
He didn't move or do nothing.
Yep.
And it's weird. I don't know what that – like that response – is. I guess they just under the water and they're like, well, I'm better off not letting anything know I'm here.
Well, it's just like deer and coyotes and everything, right? If I'm out in the dark, they don't see me. Gator feels like that underwater. Well, if I just go underwater, there's no way they see me. I'm safe.
Yeah.
So would he have? So would he have let you run him over?
Yeah, he would have let me bump him.
Yeah.
And then he would have shot out of there. Yeah, for sure.
No, it's amazing what power they can generate.
It's when we kill these big gators, man, and, you know, sometimes things get a little Western when we're hunting them. If a hunter doesn't make a good shot or something and we have to get hands on with them, it'll make you rethink how strong you think you are.
Yeah, I bet.
So you ever been bitten?
I've been bitten, nothing too extreme. Mm-hmm. My son got bit. He had about a 10.5 grabbing by the hand one day. We were dealing with one. And that got pretty ugly, but luckily he didn't lose anything. But I do have 3 friends that have lost limbs off of gators.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. And that's from dealing with them. It's not, like, accidental.
No, that's from dealing with them, yeah. Yeah, one guy lost his hand. The one buddy of mine, he had his arm wrung off at his shoulder. He was just swimming at night with some friends out at a little spot partying. They went for a swim, and gator grabbed his arm, took him down to the bottom. And it's the only reason he's alive today is that gator started death rolling with him and wrung his arm off. If he wouldn't have wrung his arm off, he would have drowned him and killed him.
Golly, it's a little much.
Yeah. That is terrible.
Man, that's rough. I bet you that there's a lot of aspects to that, too. Like, infection side of that is probably pretty rough because this water around here is,
Water and then just it being done by a gator because the gators have so much bacteria on them. Mm-hmm. They live in warm, stagnant water.
Right.
Everything they eat's basically rotten. Yeah. You know, besides, like, if they catch a fish. If they catch anything that has any size to it, they have to let it rot before they eat it because they don't want to fight to try to tear pieces off. They let it rot, get soft. It's just much easier. Mm-hmm.
So if a gator grabbed you and took you to the bottom of a lake or river, what would you do?
I'd probably make peace with everything I've ever needed to do.
There's no way to get out of it, you don't think?
You know, there's a couple things you can do for sure. Are you going to have that train of thought when it's going down? Right. Probably not. You're going to go in panic mode, go into shock. But probably the best thing you could do, which I don't know if anybody would actually have the mindset to do this, would be to reach in. If he has you, his mouth is not shut. Mm-hmm. So if you could reach in to that little flap in their throat and just disengage that a little bit so he started taking in water, he's probably going to turn you loose.
Yeah.
If you poked at the eyes – I would say maybe, but probably not. He's probably not going to turn
really?
Loose. Yeah.
I've
seen him bite down on things when we're trying to get him in. And, you know, we try to get him loose or get him to let go of something. And you can do about whatever you want to him. He's not letting it go.
Yeah.
You think that, in the shark attack world, it's almost exclusively misidentification on the animal's part.
Right.
That's what's, you know, hypothesized. Do you think it's how it is with gators, too, a lot of times?
I don't.
You think they're trying to eat you?
I don't know that they're trying to really, like, so much eat you. Some of them, yes, but all of them, no. For instance, we had a 70-some-year-old lady was killed earlier this year here. Mm. She was walking her dog. It's all caught on her own home security camera. She's walking her dog in her backyard, had a reclaimed water retention pond for, like, irrigation and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the gator, you can see him coming all the way across the pond. He's swimming so fast, he's got a wake behind him. He's coming after the dog. And I don't know why, but a dog is a dinner bell to an alligator. Mm-hmm. So he's coming to get the dog. The lady's elderly. She's not aware of what's going on. She finally looks up, sees the gator. She's not doing anything quick. She's got the leash wrapped around her wrist. She turns to walk back up the bank. The gator catches the dog. She could have just slid the leash off her wrist and she would have been fine. She's 70-some-year-old. She's fighting this alligator for her dog. The gator shakes his head a couple times and snatches her down on top of him. He reaches over, bites her, and you can watch it all on the video. Really? Slides right back in the water with her, drowns her.
Creepy, man.
Yeah, man, that's rough.
This morning when I was walking around that little slough right there, at one point we kind of turned back to the road. Mm-hmm. I think it was when we made the loop around it.
Yeah.
When we came back to the road, I shined my flashlight to make sure as we went through the ditch there wasn't a gator there.
Yeah.
Just on my phone.
Sure.
And like 10 yards, I see eyes.
Yeah.
And there was a bobcat just sitting there staring at us.
Right.
They eat bobcats? They'll eat anything that gets in the water, right?
Yeah, they'll eat anything. I have gutted a few of them just to see what's in them just because it's, you know, I deal with gators every day and it's interesting to me. I find a lot of possum, raccoon is more of what, because, you know, they kind of, especially the raccoons, they kind of
hang out
around the water areas. Mm-hmm. And they walk that edge and that gator will pick them off. But he's mostly eating fish and turtles. But if an opportunity arises, he is going to take it.
So we watch a African documentary of crocodiles. Yep. Those crocodiles are lunging out of the water and grabbing stuff. Yep. Gators do that a lot, or they?
I don't say a lot, but yeah. they if they do it, they yeah. do it.
And they and so do you think that the like bigger mammals around here know that there's gators around and that
absolutely.
So I mean, it's not like a. Oh, I'm surprised it's something – they know there's things in there trying to eat them.
Yeah, but they won't really mess with, like, these – all the cows you see, all these water holes, every one of them's got a gator in it. And you'll see cows in there, like, just in there cooling off with the gators. A little a gator is not going to mess with a big cow. I mean, if it did, it had to be a massive gator. To
What's
try
a
to,
massive gator?
I mean, it would be something well over 10 foot to – unless he's just extremely aggressive to mess with a cow. A full-grown one. They will catch a calf occasionally. And a lot of times in these water holes, I've drove up to the hole just looking to see what gators are in there. Maybe I see buzzards and I go check it out. And there'll be five or six calves in there floating dead. That gator was not killing them to eat them. He was killing them because he didn't want anything in his water hole. It was just territorial. So he's just killing everything that comes up there that he can catch. He's not going to do that to a big cow. You know, a big cow would just walk out of the water with him. But those little calves and stuff, they can handle them and drown them pretty
easily. So when a deer goes to a water hole, it's like on edge.
It's subject to get caught.
Yeah.
We have found a buck in one of these water holes here on this place that a gator had caught and killed.
Huh. Man, that's crazy. It would seem like it would almost be hard to get them to age class, you know, that way. But I guess there's just a bunch of – the landscape holds a lot of animals, period.
Yeah, we've got a lot of deer, a lot of turkeys, hogs. This is a pretty game-rich environment.
Yeah,
right
I guarantee
here.
You. Yeah. So what's an old gator?
Oh, man, when you start killing them 12- and 13-foot gators, they're going to be in that 70-plus.
Are they really that old?
Yeah, wow. They.
That's wild.
I don't know if you guys saw the story here a couple of years back. They killed one in Mississippi. He's like their new state record or right there. He was like right at 14 feet. They took him to a processor just like we do to have him process for our clients. Processor skinning him out. He finds musket balls in his back.
No way.
Wow.
They send the musket balls to the University of Mississippi to get tested, and they dated them back to 200 years.
That's wild.
200 years
and
old.
Hey, I need to look eating, that story up.
Yeah.
That'd be, if we can find that, we'll link it in the show notes.
And so somebody ate a 200-year-old piece of meat off of that.
Well, think about this, too. They probably weren't shooting at a little baby alligator with muskets.
Yeah.
So they were probably shooting at a fairly grown alligator back at that time. So that alligator, realistically, was probably 220 to 250 years old.
That's insane.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome.
That is cool. What? So when you say they're strong, because their arms just don't look that strong. Is it more like abdomen, tail working
it's
together?
It's that body movement. Now, that tail is incredibly strong.
Yeah.
When I was younger, we were out riding in some airboats around here like we do all the time, and a buddy of mine thought he was going to be Mr. Tough Guy and jump off on one, and he jumped off on about a 10-footer and tried to catch it alive. Well, it smacked him in his thigh, and it broke his femur. He had to ride a 45-minute ride in on an airboat with a broken femur.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not to mess with. So, and the jaw power is unreal.
So you were telling me a little bit about the girth of the tail at the base of it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So just to give people – I always use this as an example. You know, people say, well, how big are your gators? I tell them, you know, on a trophy hunt, we're going to kill something in an 11-foot range is average. And they always want to know, well, what's he weigh? That alligator is going to weigh somewhere between 500 and 650 pounds, somewhere in that range on the big trophies. A couple gators that we have killed recently, their tails were abnormally large, like girth-wise. So we just run a tape on them to kind of have some measurements and see, because it's interesting. And we've killed some here lately. At the base of their tail, right behind their legs, they're 46 to 48 inches.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's OReillyAuto.com/meateater. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
So, that's a lot bigger around than me.
Well, think about
bigger around than I used to be. You
think about how big your waist is.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about the base of his tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's bigger than your torso.
Is that all muscle or is he storing fat back there?
That's every bit muscle.
Really?
Every bit.
Do they have much fat on them?
No.
The old ones don't really?
Nope. They'll have little layers of fat in like their tail. Mm-hmm. There's a tenderloin tube that runs through the bottom. The tail is kind of shaped almost like a star or like a plus sign. Mm-hmm. There's two solid strips of meat on the top of that, and then on the bottom there's two strips of meat, but inside the two strips on the bottom there's like inside tenderloins like you'd get on an elk or a deer.
Hmm.
In the bottom section of the tail.
And are they tender?
Yeah, that's about the tender.
You treat that differently than you do the rest of the tail.
You treat that differently in the jaw meat. Like a lot of people looks at a big gator when he's laying there and they see those big fat jaws. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all solid white meat.
How about that?
Yeah, so the jaw meat and that inside tenderloin, that's like your prime cuts on a gator.
What would you do with that when you cooked it?
Most people do old school with gator, man. They just cut it up into pieces, run it through a tenderizer, and fry it.
Yeah.
Like the gator bites, gator nuggets mm-hmm. type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Gotcha. Hmm. And so, say a 500-pound gator.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's like an average gator for you, something like that? Or
No. If he's 500, he's a big trophy
he's
gator.
He's big. Okay.
Yeah,
so
he's a big trophy.
500's an easy number to work with, I guess, is why I'm using that.
No,
Matt was telling me that a lot of people like think that they weigh more than they are because of maybe some TV shows and different things along the way that have, you know, maybe elaborated a little bit on those
and they're
weights,
probably,
you know,
long for their weight.
That's exactly right. So they're you know 11 foot, but it's still like you said the jowls mm-hmm. and the
yeah.
You know,
how many pounds of meat would you get off of a 500 pound gator?
On that you're probably going to get 100 pounds, 80 to 100 pounds.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not bad at all. There's a lot of meat.
And then, do most people have leather made out of their gators or something like that too?
A lot have. They'll get the head mounted, send the hides off for, mm-hmm. for leather, or, you know, unless they're doing a half body or full body mount.
Yeah, well.
Some people get some rugs done. Some people get some, like, the bearskin rug style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
You would actually be shocked at how many people get them full body mounted.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a fairly large percentage.
What's the cost on a full body gator mount?
$6,000-$7,000 on a big one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
How about that?
But think about the pranks you could pull.
Oh, for sure. There's all kinds of
it would
of
be worth it, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you'd get your money.
You go to Dallas Safari Club, like the croc up front, full body mounted, is like the thing. You know, that's what every kid wants to see. So
what's a gator hunt like? probably would like to do one at some point in my life, but it's not something that's like a bucket list for me. But for a lot of people, it is. Yeah, you are. So is there a, you know, is it more like a whitetail hunt or more like a thermal hog hunt?
We're spotting and stalking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of spotting and stalking. We're riding on swamp buggies. We have these big platform swamp buggies on big tractor tires. We ride around on them. Sometimes we do it off to Can-Am. Just depends on what ranch we're on and how far we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically ride. I've been judging gators my whole entire life. From the gator's nose to his eye, however many inches that is, will relate to how many feet he is.
You said that earlier this week.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Is that nostrils?
Yeah.
So not like the tip of his nose.
I just go from the nostril to the corner of the eye.
Gotcha.
And we're not talking exact, right?
Sure.
But if you run a tape on and it's 8 inches, he's going to roughly be 8 foot, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easier for you now to look at that distance or to look at a full gator?
I can look at his head and tell you within a couple inches how big he is.
Really?
But I've been doing it for 40 years.
Sure.
So,
you
know, and then also doing it for a living. So I know exactly because I'll guess him, we'll kill him and we'll pull him out and measure him.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we're not just saying, oh, he's seven foot and just
That's pretty much science. Yeah.
We've got him killed and we got a tape on him.
Mm-hmm. So then once you're riding around and you see these things and you're like, oh, that's the one. Because you have, you don't, not everyone is a trophy hunt, right?
No, we do management hunts and then some people will just want a small one because say dad's doing a trophy hunt. He's got Junior along. He doesn't want to spend that on a on little man. But hey, you know, that lesser gator right there.
Who's your first gator, boy?
Yeah.
So we have two or three categories of size ranges for people to hunt to fit pretty much every budget. And so, yeah, they're neat. And a weird little thing about alligators, they're actually kind of built like a chicken as far as meat structure-wise. The entire thing is white meat except for his legs. His legs are dark meat.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
That's wild.
What do you do with a gator leg?
Some people do, you know, some people cook them, cut them up for fry meat. There's actually a guy in town now who's been taking them, smoking them, and chipping it up and making like a fish dip.
Oh, really?
With gator meat.
Huh.
Sounds interesting.
It's actually pretty decent.
Do many people grind them like deer meat or something?
So I'm getting ready to try some myself. I'm going to take a restaurant owner, a friend of mine, took some from me. He wanted to try it out for some special clients he had. And they took alligator meat, 16 pounds of gator meat, ground 4 pounds of maple bacon in with it, and patted it like a hamburger, and put it on a bun with like a romelade sauce. And he said everybody just
was
absolutely amazing.
That does sound all right.
It does sound good.
Now I'm getting a little
hungry. I like gator. I'm actually very hungry. So we kind of distracted you, though, from what a gator hunt is like. So
yeah, no, you're fine. So like we're just riding around spotting and stalking. I already know what size gator you're looking for to fit your budget. Mm-hmm. So we just ride until we find that gator. And you're not obligated to take the first gator we shoot. We're going to see plenty. On my ranch, we can ride around and see roughly 150 alligators a day.
Wow.
Of all sizes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a safari experience outside of just the fact that it's a
And it's gator. Not a, man, I really, you know how you know, you want a backcountry elk hunt or something. It's, man, I hope we get something or I hope we see something. You're absolutely going to see and you're absolutely going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
It's a, it's all free range fair chase. It's not high fenced. It's not, they're not bought and brought in. There's none of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's free range fair chase, but it's as good as any high fence hunting ever because we just have such an abundance of them.
So how does that work? Are you having to rotate ranches or do you have like a cap on what you'll take so that you can replenish? Cause it probably takes, you know the number, but to get to a gator that's a size that someone cares to shoot, it takes a few years.
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we do on our ranch is about how we get our tags is a biologist comes out in January. He does a survey with us on the ranch. He'll do physical count, water temperature, air temperature, renewable outside resource. He'll crunch all these numbers compared to, like, amount of acreage of water on the acreage of land. And he'll tell us, okay, Matt, you're allowed to kill 150 on this ranch. We might go over and do a survey on another ranch, and he might tell me I'm allowed 20 on that one. So we have several different ranches we hunt to keep the rotation so we don't wear out any one piece of property.
So American alligators used to be on the endangered species list, right?
I believe so.
What year? Do you know what year they came off?
I don't remember. I don't know if I think I'm going to say about 25, 30 years ago they started allowing us to hunt them.
So just a huge success on that front.
It's probably the greatest American conservation success story, I think. I mean, a lot of people would say
turkeys,
that at least.
Gators, turkeys, bald eagles, those are all going to be kind of in that range.
Maybe
right?
white-tailed deer, but like, I mean, alligators, I mean, apparently, they, you know, there's a lot of them around,
and
right?
The fact that, you know, you look at a turkey, and a three-year-old turkey is an old turkey. Well, it takes a 30-year-old gator to be an old gator probably, right? When you just
if he's an old gator, our average old gator that we – our average trophy gator is probably 50-plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wow, that's a crazy man. That's like, I mean, that's a big deal. We just got to get the grizzly bears off the endangered list.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt on that.
So essentially, what kind of weaponry is it going to take to make this happen?
So with a alligator hunt on, let's say a management hunt, we're going to try to kill a gator somewhere in that 6, 7, 8 foot range. I like something like a 223, 22 Hornet. You know, there's some little wildcat rounds, the smaller rounds like that, that'll work fine. Reason being, we don't want to do too much damage to the head because majority of people are going to want to mount the head. On those big gators, I like 308 or bigger because we're really trying to get them dead where we shoot them because we don't want them to – some of these places we're hunting have big reservoirs, 400, 500-acre reservoir. So if you wound one, he's going to be pretty difficult to track in 500-acre reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to – when we shoot them, we like to kill them right where they lay.
And so are you trying to – kill those animals by concussion, or are you severing the brainstem, or like what's the goal with the round?
An alligator's head, I kind of relate it to a concrete block. If you shoot a gator in the head, it'll actually crack his whole entire head.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to do a lot of damage and get that alligator killed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want anything getting away. We don't want anything wounded.
Mm-hmm.
So we like that higher power on those big gators because, you know, again, we're shooting a gator that's going to be 400 to 600 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to stop him right there because then also we have to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got to deal with an alligator that's going to be highly upset if he's not dispatched. So
how do you end up getting one?
It depends on where they're at. Sometimes we just wade out there and get them. Sometimes we'll throw a fishing pole and put a snag hook on them and drag them over to the bank where we can get our hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if they're way out, we'll take an airboat and go out and get them. But most of the time, it's just hands on. We just get in the water and get them.
And what if they're still alive?
It gets Western sometimes.
People pay more. You're
brave. You're a brave dude.
If the gator's still alive,
it gets Western. Things get a little crazy.
So I got our fact checkers over here showed me that they went on endangered species list in 67.
Okay.
And 87 is when they came off.
Yep.
So they're on 20 years and went to, you know, back to good conservation.
How about
status.
That?
So,
that's cool, man.
Pretty interesting. I mean, apparently they are prolific. How many eggs do they lay probably?
So a nest will have anywhere from 20 to 40 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that I noticed living in gator country down in South Texas. It seemed like either they'd have multiple broods a year or gators are breeding. It ain't just like a one event. Like they'll be like, I remember
that's
seeing
once
babies
a year in Florida here. It is.
But I would see babies in like March or April, and then I'd see babies in October.
When you're seeing those babies that are this long,
mm-hmm.
that was from last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so it's like a newborn.
6-8 inches.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hmm.
In a year they grow another 8 inches.
Maybe, if probably not even that much.
Really?
Yeah.
And would that be like throughout their lifespan, 8 inches a year? Or so
they're gonna grow at a higher rate until they get to that 6-7 foot range, and then they're gonna start to slow down.
Hmm.
And those really big gators, man, they grow like a quarter inch a year or less. They just don't have that. And it all depends on food source and everything.
Yeah.
Else,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, you start talking about that volume of animal. A quarter inch around the whole critter, you're adding 15 pounds that year or something. You know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, like they still.
At what point do they become predator exclusively and not prey anymore, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so they can they're subject to get eaten at any time. Unless, you know, once they get up around that 10-foot mark, you start to – I think they don't have to worry as much about the bigger gators, the ones that are a little bit bigger than them. But we will – it's almost every gator we kill, he'll be chewed up. He'll be missing a foot, missing a leg. We've killed them that they don't have – they're missing their tail. It's been bit in half. Bite marks all over them. They're an extremely aggressive animal.
Mm-hmm. You just told us a story about that that just happened yesterday. I wasn't on the rig, but y'all saw one do something like that, right?
Yeah, well, that was one of the cowboys here on the ranch saw. He rode by a water hole. A 7-footer jumped over a 9-footer to get in the water, and the 9-footer grabbed him, took him in the water, and was rolling with him. So,
and they were just buddies like 5 seconds before that.
They were just out there just sunning together.
Man, that is wild.
It's a rough world, man.
Yeah.
So I had a guy here on an archery hunt, and on the other ranch, archery hunting for gators, and they one of the ranch hands called and said, hey, there's a big gator crossing the road up here. He's got something in his mouth. He's going to be in the ditch. And he told me what block he was in. So we go over there. What he had in his mouth was an 8-foot gator they had bitten clean in half.
Golly.
Oh, my goodness.
And we ended up getting him killed with a bow, and he was 11-foot.
So when you shoot him with a bow, what does that setup look like?
So we're trying to shoot him in the head. If he's in the water, the only option we have is to shoot him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people think, well, you're not going to get any penetration. You don't need much. You mm-hmm. need an inch or two.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to break that bone. Their brain is right there. If he's laying up on the bank sunning, we're going to shoot him right in that armpit, heart, lung.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to get in the water, but then that hole's going to start taking in water. He's basically going to start drowning. 9 times out of 10, the alligator will actually come get out of the water,
mm-hmm.
or at least he'll get out of the water enough to get the hole out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have to use, like, a seine net to get them out?
No.
Find them in a pond?
You were talking about fishing poles the other day, though. What is that deal?
So we'll take a fishing pole with a big weighted snag hook,
mm-hmm.
and we'll throw it out there and snag him just to drag him over to the bank to where mm-hmm. we can get our hands on him to get him pulled out.
But sometimes he's alive whenever that happens?
Sometimes he's still alive. And then sometimes you get some guys that want to be a little more hands-on,
mm-hmm.
and before we ever even shoot him, they want to snag him with a fishing pole, fight him in, and then getting killed.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. Now actually, I would rather do the spot and stalk shoot thing, because there's some hunts in Texas that you can draw and stuff, and I think a lot of them are hook and line.
Yeah,
and
because those are public land.
Yeah, well,
they're not private land
yeah.
tags.
Yeah,
that's the way ours are here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Have you ever, like, chunked the hunk of meat in front of the gator and hooked him that way? Like
a lot
fish?
Of times we'll use I'll save some lungs out of the hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And we use lungs because they float.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So we throw that lung out there. It floats on top of the water. He can smell it, and he'll come to it. And a lot of times.
This is awesome.
And a lot I mean, of that times, is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Pretty cool.
So then I'll take and I'll just kind of like bump it a little bit, and he'll mm-hmm. see that movement, mm-hmm. and he'll usually come right to it. They'll bite it, and they'll chomp it a few times, and they lift their head straight up in the air. And they're actually like tossing it back to
yeah.
their throat, swallow it, let it settle for a second, and then you got him hooked. But we had the reason we do it. That hook to a fishing pole, because if a gator approaches that bait that's not something that we want, we can get it away from him.
Yeah.
We can reel it in.
How fast do you think they can swim?
Michael Phelps can't outswim
them. Yeah, I believe it.
They're fast.
They're
fast.
It's insane to see. We saw one the other day doing it, and I've seen them before. But, like, you know, you'd be out in the marsh in a boat, and, like, there'll be a gator in 10 inches of water, and
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden he takes off. And there ain't any water left in the marsh.
Yep.
You know, like, they just throw water everywhere.
They're a special animal, man. They're really something else. I've killed some big gators in water so shallow they couldn't get under the water.
Hmm.
10, 11, 12-foot gators. They're
really?
Just – they can't even hide.
Huh.
And it's weird. Like, they'll get their head underwater, and they just think they're underwater.
Yeah. It's kind of like a buck bedded in a wheat stubble field,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I can see your antlers, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of other hunts, too. I mean, hog hunting, and we've been here doing a little turkey hunting, just kind of hanging out and seeing the property.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's pretty awesome here. Yep. I've never been to this. I've never been to Florida until we came this trip.
Really?
It's always something I wanted to do, you know.
Gotcha.
But Texas has so many cool things, too. It's kind of hard to get
no,
out
absolutely.
Of there every once in a while.
Yeah. Yep.
But the Osceola turkey has been speaking the sweet music out there.
Don't be trying to make me spill the beans.
Well, ain't no beans. We, they're neat.
Yeah.
A couple of reasons I noticed about them.
Mm-hmm.
They, for one, they sound different on the roost. The hens have a lot more whistle to it,
yeah.
mm-hmm. instead of the raspy thing.
Yeah.
And then they don't talk as much in general on the ground.
So not far.
Yeah.
But we did encounter rain.
We had a tiny sample size.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I noticed the gobble seemed a little bit like not necessarily higher pitched, but like throatier,
uh-huh.
not as like.
I felt like
from
the notes
the gut,
are closer together too.
Like
you
quicker?
Know, yeah.
Like more like a chipmunk kind of?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it kind of sounds
like
a chipmunk.
Like you go and listen to a Rio, it's blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
these are, you know,
right.
like
yeah.
very fast.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so. Yeah, it's interesting.
And they absolutely are way darker than any turkey I've ever seen.
Yeah, they appear black. Like when you see, when you're just riding across the pasture and you'll see the hens, they're kind of that brown gray. Mm-hmm. When you see a black bird, he's a gobbler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're almost jet black, and at distance they appear jet black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you happen to know what they weigh on average?
Yeah, on average they're probably going to go about 18 pounds, 20 okay. pounds on a
they're pretty
on a mature
big still.
Tom.
Yeah.
They appear leggy. They appear tall.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's what I hear a lot of people say, is, you know, they have that teenager look. They look a little thinner, a little taller.
Yeah.
Versus like your Rios and especially your Easterns.
Mm-hmm.
And those birds are a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
But
and it's not much, though. Like, it doesn't – I was expecting when I saw one – like, when I saw – you know how a lot of people have ground shrinkage when they shoot a deer, you know?
Sure.
Like, when I saw one on the ground, I expected it to be small. So, I was trying to set myself up for that.
Right.
And they weren't really that way. I mean,
right.
they look like – when you shoot them, you're like, that's a turkey.
You
like
saw I've one shot. On the ground?
I've seen a few. You how shot
did,
one, right?
How did you happen to see one on the ground, Tyler?
Well, we might have, we've started this new brand called Double Up Outdoors. No, I'm kidding.
We have done that a decent amount.
That's
it's
what I was
fun.
Telling Matt earlier. Mm-hmm. Is like for whatever reason, we tend to shoot things on the same like evening or morning,
or it's right. 7 days later.
Yeah, yeah it's, right. it's way apart. Yeah.
One or the other, right?
Yeah, it's not like a back to back days or anything for whatever reason. But yeah, we had a good morning, and we can talk more about it now or later. It doesn't matter to me, but there will be some videos from this stuff. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah,
so.
Essentially, we had a good morning turkey hunting, yep. I'd say. It was pretty pristine. Yeah,
yep.
it was a fun time. But Matt, thanks for letting us come down and hang out, man.
Oh, no worries, man. No worries. Yep. I'm glad they turned on for you guys today. We didn't have a bad day yesterday, but we had a slower day. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of rain, a lot of wind. And that kind of gave us a little bit of a window this morning that cleared up on us. Mm-hmm. And you guys can tell the turkeys did a lot better today than they did yesterday. And they're the same birds.
Yeah, they're cooperating.
And, you guys probably tagged out within, 30 minutes each other? Hour?
Yeah.
He sent me a picture of that shell.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got one hot, too.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, it didn't take very long.
Yeah. So, if somebody wanted to come on a gator hunt, Triple M
Outfitters.
Okay.
Yep.
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 So.
Triple M Outfitters. You can look me up on social media, website, whole nine yards.
Seems like you got a lot of people that respect what you do and you and just appreciate you being just a real dude, man. It's easy going. So.
No, for sure. Palm Bay, right? It's kind of where you're based
Palm
out
Bay,
of.
Florida. Yeah. We're an hour from Orlando. Orlando's the easiest to fly into.
Mm-hmm.
A quick hour trip to the east over here at the coastline, and we can be on the beach and doing whatever, and then we can be over here in the ranch in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Sounds like a pretty good
it's a good spot to be, isn't it? So if anybody's interested, we'll try to link in the show notes, and I hope that we do that. I can't 100% guarantee that. But we will also be posting some pictures from this trip.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we'll be tagging Matt in that. So yeah, if you're interested in coming on a gator hunt, man, that's it's something that I will do at some point.
It's a unique place. By the way, in case anybody cares, I added about 3 new birds to my life.
Really?
Which ones? Wood stork was one of the ones for sure. I got 2 others I need to look up and make sure and confirm what they are. But
I saw a bird yesterday. I couldn't tell you what it was, but it was different than one I'd seen, anyone I'd seen.
So that is just
wasn't that Caracara you were talking about?
No, we have Caracaras at home.
Okay, gotcha, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had actually, I think it was Hurricane Katrina, like there was a huge influx of Caracaras.
Really?
At that point.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if we probably had them before. It's probably in the range or whatever, but like I just know that like a lot of birds got pushed up the coast when that happened.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But it's just a unique and plentiful ecosystem around here.
Absolutely. It's a target-rich environment for sure.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Well, I enjoyed hanging out, man. Thank
absolutely.
I
have to get you guys back down and show you some of the other ranches and show you some different things.
For sure. Sweet. I want to ride one of them big buggies, man.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of them. They're a good time. They're a good time.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care, guys.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2nd, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4th, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5th, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.